Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have a prison!
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How are you all doing today? There's so much to talk about. It's hard to know where to even get started. Why don't we do this? Why don't we talk about our new sponsor, Wise Wolf? Oh my God, I'm so glad that we have a gold and silver guy in our corner that you can get a hold of if you need to. You can speak to him directly. If you go to www.macroaggressions.gold, G-O-L-D, you will find the landing page that Tony Arterburn made for us over at Wise Wolf. You can just go right there, take a look at what they've got, read up on it. You can contact them directly and Tony will call you. You can set up a time to speak to him via phone or through email or whatever. He'll reach out to you directly and you guys can figure out what's the best strategy for you to convert some of that fiat Federal Reserve horseshit dollars into something tangible, be that gold or silver or platinum or whatever. Tony's got it. He's the guy to talk to. Hey, look, if you have questions about this stuff or you're not really sure how much of your portfolio you want to put in there or what you just have the conversation with him. He'll explain to you his thoughts on it. He's a small business owner. He's operating out of Branson, Missouri, but they can ship anywhere. You know, they can ship anywhere. So if you're looking for gold, if you're looking for silver, or if you're looking to just diversify out of the inflated, hyperinflated US dollar or whatever currency denominated units you're holding in your wallet, I think it's time to give them a call. I think it's time to check them out. Just go to www.macroaggressions.gold and reach out to Tony Arterburn that way and get started on that. And also thanks to C60 Purple Power. They are amazing. The FDA is putting the heat on them a little bit saying, hey, you're not allowed to talk about all these things. So you know how that goes. So we have to be very careful. So let me just say this. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease. Okay, I read the disclaimer. Let me tell you something. I've been taking it for a while now, coming up on 8 months, and I have had fantastic results. I feel great. I can't tell you that that is going to happen for you. You have a different body than I have. So why don't you do this? Why don't you go to c60purplepower.com and read about it? And after reading about it, use your brain to figure out whether or not you think this is something that's right for you, regardless of any sort of regulatory agencies, what their opinions may or may not be. Ultimately, You're the consumer. You're a big boy or girl. You can make the decision for yourself. C60 is a naturally occurring molecule. It's comprised of 60 carbon atoms forming something that looks like a hollow soccer ball. It's a spherical cage. It's a free radical sponge. We're allowed to say all these things about it, right? I don't know. Am I allowed to say that the guys that discovered it won the Nobel Prize for it? Well, I'm saying it. I don't know. But that seems like it might be something, I don't know, worth taking a look at, considering it seems like a pretty big and important scientific discovery. So again, with all of this stuff, with all of my sponsors, my premise is here's the information. Here's the website, c60purplepower.com. You do your own research on it. You check it out for yourself. You make the decision. I'm not going to convince you to buy something. That would be insane. You're going to read the information for yourself, make a decision, and buy it or don't buy it. But if you are, use the promo code MACRO on your way out to save yourself a little bit of money. And of course, this helps to support the show as well. Oh, well, speaking of the show, I mean, where do we go? I guess we just talk about the state of things, right? It's really difficult these days to know what to prioritize to talk about. You can't just assume that that the most important thing is COVID. I mean, it's been talked about a lot, but I've got bigger issues with the supply chain. I have bigger fears about that, to be honest with you. I have questions about why California is doing the things that they do. I have questions about the lies that are being told about COVID. I'm more fearful of the lies being told about COVID as the pretext to convince you to do something that you don't want to do than I am worried about the actual virus with a 99.98% survivability rate and a median death age of 80 years old, which in the United States, congratulations, the median death age is 78. So you should go out and catch COVID. You'll get an extra 2 years out of it. I think they're counting on you to be ignorant, though. I mean, I know they're counting on you to be ignorant, but the state of things, man, everything's a bit upside down, as we expected, as we rightly saw coming. It wasn't like we were looking through our little periscope on the bow of our ship and we were like, oh, it looks like smooth sailing. No, we saw the gigantic Niagara Falls that we're about to head over. We saw that. We've been screaming about it. You watch, though, when it comes out that COVID was a gigantic media manipulation event and that all these governors and everything are, you know, full of shit and should be locked up and everything, there'll be a bunch of people say, I knew it. I knew it. Oh, I knew it was all fake as I wore my mask for 2 years and social distanced and put Purell on my hands every 40 seconds because I was afraid. Yeah, yeah, I knew it was all fake. Well, do you have 170 episodes of your podcast to show people that says that you were calling it out? Because I certainly do. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people trying to brand us as being unscientific. I'm tired of them saying that we are conspiracy theorists. Man, if I wanted to theorize about potential conspiracies, I've got a whole list of things that I could completely geek out. Hollow Earth, Malbec, the planet that got blown up where the asteroid belt is. I mean, listen, I'm fully prepared to get weird and go into all those things and theorize about those potential conspiracies. I love them. It's fascinating. I don't expect to have the answer to them, but I'm interested in them. But that's not what we're doing here. We're not theorizing about potential conspiracies, though we could. We're just analyzing actual ones that are right in front of our face. And if you think COVID isn't a conspiracy, then like, what are you watching? It's a massive conspiracy. And you want to talk about an octopus. The octopus is behind the COVID cult operation. I don't know. How do we want to frame this? The COVID psychological operation, it is that. The COVID false flag, it's that too. It's not, it's not real in the sense that the numbers are adding up. We've gone on and on and on about this. But I saw something that made me a little bit optimistic a couple weeks ago. A little bit. And that was Southwest Airlines. The people that didn't show up for work, the employees. So it was fascinating to watch the Southwest union and the media try and dance around this, because the union couldn't come right out and say what this was. And they couldn't say that they were walking out. It was like there was a legal reason why they couldn't do it. They would have been in breach. So they couldn't ever say that. And in fact, what was actually happening was a bunch of people that were of the belief that they were going to be let go because their CEO, Gary Kelly, said that the Joe Biden mandate was forcing them, you know, to get everybody vaccinated. Really, the mandate was forcing you? I never saw this. Is it a law? Can you show me the law? Is it a mandate or is it a press release? It's a press release. There's no fucking mandate. There's no law telling all these people that they have to go get their employees vaccinated. Joe Biden gave a speech about it. Then they released a press release. And then everyone said, oh, I guess we have to do this now. Listen, stop being so fucking obedient to your government. How dare you? You're embarrassing yourself. I think we need to have a conversation about the relationship that we have with our government and our media. Like, you do not have to jump when they tell you to jump. You just don't have to. In fact, next time they tell you to jump, don't do it. See how empowering that is. The fact that the government's going to come out and say, well, listen, we're just going to say you guys all have to get your people vaccinated and that's just the way it is, or we're going to start fining everyone. Oh, okay. Well, where's that law? Well, you know, we haven't, we're working on it. Oh, okay. Well, show me the law first, then fuck off in the meantime. Because I'm not doing this. But if you're some employer and you're like, oh, well, I got 118 employees and I certainly don't want to get on the wrong. I don't want to get a $40,000 fine for that. Unenforceable. Sue them. Sue the government. Everybody should sue the government for this. Everybody should sue them. They should all file lawsuits. Just clog the thing up, man. So Southwest, really what they had was a situation where their pilots and employees were cashing in sick days. Because they needed to use them or lose them, that sort of thing. They see they have a calendar. They see when the date was set that they're going to make this mandatory or we're going to fire you for not having the vaccine. And so they go, well, let's see. That benchmark date is 60 days out. I have 45 days of sick pay and vacation time. I'm not going to get to keep it if they obviously fire me for this. Why don't I just start using it now? I'm going to cash it in right now. I'm not going to work. Okay. Now, you could call that coordination, and maybe it is. But in a sense, it's just a bunch of employees looking at their situation going, well, I better use it or lose it. I'm not getting the vaccine. I'm not vaccine hesitant. I'm not getting it. There's no hesitancy. I'm pretty damn sure that I'm not getting it. So take the word vaccine hesitant out and just say, you know, these are the people that are not getting the vaccine. Good luck replacing pilots. You know, you can train a pilot to fly a Southwest airline in less than 4 weeks. Oh, no, sorry. It takes military training and years of that. That's why they hire all mostly ex-military pilots. So what are you going to do if 40% of your pilots just decide that they're not going to work there anymore? Are you going to go to Florida, to the Florida flight schools and say, hey, you got any of them Saudis in there that don't know how to land planes? We'll take them. We'll hire them. No, of course not. So congratulations to Southwest. They broke this guy. They broke Gary Kelly. Oh, did I mention that Gary Kelly has ties to the World Economic Forum? Did I mention he's written for them? Oh, I'm sorry. I that must have slipped my mind. Now, Southwest Airlines doesn't have an official relationship with the World Economic Forum, but their CEO does. I know. Shocking information, right? Pennsylvania State University see the largest enrollment drop in decades. That's a headline on Zero Hedge. Really? I wonder what that might be causing that. The lowest enrollment drop in decades, you say? Timed at the same time as vaccine mandates? I wonder if there's any sort of connection there. Student number levels dropped to the lowest point in more than 20 years. Two reasons: woke agenda and vaccine bullshit. Those are the reasons. I mean, universities are, schools in general are sort of coming off the rails, so to speak. We've talked about the school board meetings. I mean, that's like elementary school, maybe even high school and things like that, where the parents are showing up and they're like freaking. They're getting in front of the podium and they're saying, you know, you're trying to teach this critical race theory and we're not having it. And you're trying to make these mask mandates and we're not having it. And there's a lot of anger, and rightly so, because there's a lot of authoritarianism happening in these school boards because, they have a different vision for humanity, and that involves some form of cultural Marxism, which I'm not really interested in participating in, and I don't want my kid to have to go to a school where they're learning critical race theory, where they're taught that they're either a victim or an oppressor. You can't be a good kid. You have to either be a shitty, oppressive kid or a weak victim that just takes beatings all the time. That's all you're good for. No, thank you. We're not interested in that. So the parents are rightly showing up to these school board meetings. What did the FBI do? Started and made a press conference where they started talking about these people as domestic terrorists. Oh, if only I had done an episode a couple of months ago about domestic terrorists, about how everybody's going to be labeled a domestic terrorist. I mean, holy shit. It's not like you can't see it coming. They're throwing it right down the middle. Anybody that doesn't agree with the established narrative is a domestic terrorist. Even if it's your mom going to the school board meeting to say, you know, I have a problem with the way you guys are doing things. I just don't think you're doing it right. Domestic terrorist! She was planting a landmine outside of the cafeteria. I saw it. But it's a good sign, actually. I take the opposite approach on this, and I see something positive in this. I really do. I feel like we're going to have to sludge through all this garbage, just slowly work ourselves free from this. But it's happening. You see, you don't call parents that show up to school board meetings domestic terrorists if things are going well for your schools. If the narrative is catching on, these things don't happen. If the critical race theory people and the the mask mandate people and all these psychos and the let's inject kids with the experimental gene therapy when they're in the first grade, if all of these people, they're losing their grip on this narrative. That's why you label parents domestic terrorists. You do that when things are going poorly. If things were going well with this agenda and everyone was sort of like just sort of taking it and going, oh, okay, well, I guess it's not too bad that we're teaching critical race theory, or I guess it's not too bad that we're teaching Common Core. It's funny that Common Core has been left out of this infuriating debate for most people. Common Core is doing more damage than critical race theory. I mean, it's different. It's a different type of damage. It's still psychological warfare and child cruelty, but it's different. But I mean, I feel like the people that are up there screaming about the mask mandates and critical race theory, though absolutely justified in their frustration, don't forget Common Core. Throw that in there too while you're at it. Because 3 times 4 doesn't equal 11, no matter how many fucking times they tell you that it does, and no matter how much work you show. It just doesn't. Remember, you're going to, later on in life, these kids that are taking Common Core math may get a job as an engineer, and they may wind up building the bridges that you have to drive across. And when they're trying to figure out what sort of load tension that will be held by these girders, just remember, 3 times 4 equals 11. I showed my work. I got it right. I'm building your bridge. I'm building the suspension for your car. No, thank you. No, I want actual math. I don't want woke bullshit. I don't want vaccine agendas. I don't want everybody's an oppressor. I don't want safe spaces. It's dumb, and it's being called out for what it is. But it's so transitioning. This one is just. You knew I was going to bring up the gender neutral toy aisles in California, didn't you? I mean, I've got a couple points on California, and look, I've talked about it a lot. I'm from Southern California. I grew up there. I love it. Loved it. Beautiful place. Sixth largest economy in the world, just the state of California. There's a reason why there's a lot of people living there. There's a reason why celebrities and movie stars and all that live there. But there are some really large reasons to not be there anymore. I left in the wake of SB 277, the vaccine mandate. You know, talk about like that, put your money where your mouth is. I said, 4-year-old daughter getting ready to start kindergarten in California, vaccine mandate. No, thank you. We're out of here. And we moved. I just won't do it. Mandates don't work. When you're mandating health requirements for everybody, when you know that not everybody is the same, you are automatically on the wrong side of history. And no state has been on the wrong side of history more recently than the state of California, my hometown, my home state. I was born there. I grew up there. I went to school there. I went to college there. I lived there for a long, long time. I loved it. Gotta go. Can't be living there anymore. I just keep hearing Norm MacDonald's voice in my head going, well, it sounds like a bunch of commie gobbledygook. You know, every time I hear Gavin Newsom talk, or Nancy Pelosi, or whoever in California, Dianne Feinstein. Ugh. It just sounds like commie gobbledygook. Rest in peace, Norm. But AB 1084 is a new law, I guess. Gender neutral toy sections for any company that has 500 plus employees in the state. So follow me on this if you can, if it doesn't make you drive your car into a brick wall or scratch your eyes out or stick a pencil in your ear. I just want you to listen to this word salad that this assembly member, Evan Lowe, the genius who crafted this flaming pile of monkey shit, said about his gender neutral toy sections. Quote, I feel like I should do it with like a really exaggerated lisp because I just assume this guy is lisping, but I won't. Part of it is to I'll make it sound as butch as possible. Part of it is to make sure if you're a young girl that you can find a police car, fire truck, periodic table, or a dinosaur. And then similarly, if you're a boy, if you're more artistic and want to play with glitter, why not? Why should you feel the stigma of saying, oh, this should be shamed and going to a different location? You know the meme, the Alex Jones meme where he's on Rogan and he's got his hands in front of his face like he's praying and he looks like he's like taking a breath like he's about to explode? That is the look on my face right now. Hey, Evan, you dope. Kids don't think like this. Kids don't think like, oh, I'm being shamed. Let's go to a different location. Have you ever watched a kid go into a Target or a Walmart or a place like that, a big box store that has a toy section? They go all over the toy section. They look at everything that's there. If your kid, if your boy wants to buy a Barbie doll, buy him a Barbie doll. Who fucking cares? It doesn't matter. It doesn't make him gay. It doesn't make him transgendered. Although, you know, with some moms, it'd be like the first time a kid like even expresses the slightest interest in the color pink, they're scheduling their transition surgery for them. But, you know, this is like, we don't have bigger problems to worry about. Gender neutral toy section out of all the things in California that are happening. Homeless people shooting up heroin on the streets and then crapping on the sidewalk while you're trying to have brunch outdoors at some San Francisco restaurant. That's not a priority. The fact that you either shit on the sidewalk or you're a millionaire in San Francisco, that's not a problem. You have Walgreens packing up and moving all their stores out of San Francisco because you can steal whatever you want up to $1,000 and they will not call the police. And they said that they were losing $1,000 worth of merchandise a day at some of these locations. That's fine. In fact, Chesa Bowden legalized that so that you can't go after those people unless it's over $1,000. That's normal. That's fine. Shitting everywhere, stealing whatever you want. All of this is totally reasonable and normal. If only there was someone advocating for a gender-neutral toy section, all of these problems would be fixed. Hey, Evan Lowe, pull your head out of your ass and do your job. And by do your job, I mean do anything other than what you're doing right now. This is an embarrassment to you. Like, you should be ashamed. What do you think is happening here? Do you think kids are being like pushed back in the closet at Target because they don't know what aisle to go down for their toys? I mean, nothing about this makes any sense. Except Gavin Newsom went out there in front of a microphone in what can best be described as a Norm MacDonald moment, threw together a bunch of words that don't make any sense, used things like inclusivity and stakeholder capital. I mean, whatever the fuck, who knows what the guy's talking about. I guarantee you Gavin Newsom looks at other guys' business cards the way Patrick Bateman looked at other guys' business cards too. But more California insanity. Let's not stop with the gender neutral toy section, which is, you know, look, to be fair, it's just laughable. It's not something to like, it's not the hill to die on. It's just kind of stupid. And but let me tell you something that is a little bit more serious. And that is the state of California ending single family residential zoning. Now, that might not sound like a big deal to a lot of people. And you might think, well, you're just interested in it because you work in real estate. No, there's more to it than that. Okay, if it had just been that, I might not have connected the dots. But because the World Economic Forum is talking about the same sorts of things, I'm very much aware of it. I'm watching this specifically in California, because you know that shit is going to spread elsewhere if they can. So what they're saying is that now you can fit four units on a single lot 2 days after the recall, he signed this. You know, he was itching to sign this before the recall, but he could, after the recall, he can do whatever he wants. Before the recall, no way he was going to sign anything controversial. The World Economic Forum plan is in full effect. Now, the reason that was given for this is access to home ownership. They're saying, well, it's only rich people that can afford homes. And so what we're going to do is we're going to make it so there aren't single family residential homes on this lot. We're going to make it so that there's four units, like it's four duplexes or something like that, or four duplexes, a total of four units, and or fourplex, whatever. But there's a problem with this logic. And that is that there was no requirement in the bill for the housing that they were adding to actually be affordable. They just said that it will. They said, oh, the housing will be affordable. Did you make it so that there's a restriction in there that it has to be affordable? No. Now, look, to be clear, I don't love laws that, you know, restrict things and do all that. I don't, they shouldn't be doing any of this. But if their mission for doing this is because they want affordable housing, and then they draft a bill that doesn't make affordable housing mandatory and part of it, then this is horseshit. This is working for a developer. This is like, you know, developers got together and financed these guys and said, why don't you think about passing this law? They say single family zoning is racist. It's racist. Single family zoning in the United States of America for your homes is now racist. Why? Is it only white people can buy these homes? No. It's just buying a house is racist. I just ask Jimmy Dore, right? The unhinged left went ballistic when Jimmy Dore did the unthinkable. He acquired housing, clutching the pearls. Jimmy Dore bought a house. How dare he? How racist of him. Is it zoned single family residential? It is, but it won't be moving forward. Or, you know, I guess these things get grandfathered in, but whatever. It's pretty ridiculous, though. Yeah, so they say the single family zoning is racist, is about segregation, and they want to get rid of the symbols of such racism. Okay, whatever. Whatever, you weirdos. Update for you. We're staying in California now, but I have an update for you. I now have an answer to why the Port of Los Angeles and the Port of Long Beach is as clogged up as it is. And I assure you that the answer is not going to make you feel any better about things. You want to talk about woke, retarded insanity coming out of California. This is almost too crazy of an explanation. You're going to think I'm making it up. I certainly wish that I was. Okay. So we've talked about how you've seen it on the news that there's just cargo ships, you know, backed up off the coast of Los Angeles, and they can't get to the ports, and the ports aren't, you know, this Biden says, well, we're going to run the ports 24/7. You can run them 25 hours a day, 8 days a week. Doesn't make a bit of difference because California has passed some woke laws that destroyed the trucking industry. That's the reason why this is happening. It's not happening because the port guys all of a sudden forgot how to be port operators, and they didn't screw this up because out of nowhere, eight times the normal amount of tanker or cargo ships showed up. No, none of that happened. The reason why everything is backed up is because truck carriers domiciled in California, like truck operators, operations that maybe have 100 trucks or whatever. I'm just making the number 100 up. It could be any number of trucks, but these, if you have trucks that are older than 2011, So 10 years old, older than 2011, or are using engines manufactured before 2010, they will need to meet the board's new truck and bus regulation beginning in the year 2020. Right? So they started this thing. So they go, okay, fine. Whatever. What is the board's new truck and bus regulation that we need to do in order to continue to be the trucking company that we've been for the last, I don't know, however many years? Well, the requirement is to purchase electric trucks, which currently do not exist. That's right. That is, the requirement is that if you have a truck that is older than 10 years old or older, you have to purchase an electric truck. But there's a catch. Electric trucks haven't been invented yet. I mean, I feel like I've taken crazy pills. If you try to make sense of the regulations coming out of California, your head will ache, I assure you. This is what they're talking about doing. They're talking about taking the trucks that are in existence, that have been, you know, that have been manufactured within the last 10 years. If you're a truck owner operator lucky enough to have a newer model truck, meaning new within this last decade, they're saying what we'll do is we'll have those trucks go to the port and get the stuff and then drive it to the state line of California, which if you're in Southern California, the state line would be, you could go one of two ways. You could go straight out to Nevada and you'd hit the state line, which is like 45 minutes or so outside of Las Vegas, and then take it off of those trucks and load it onto other trucks that are waiting there that are that cannot come into California legally. And then those trucks will take the stuff the rest of the way, wherever they need to go. This is the actual idea being proposed. And you want to know what's crazy about all of this? It could go away today if Joe Biden decided that he wanted it to go away. He has the authority to overrule this. He has the authority to change it, and he won't do it. And you know why he won't do it? Because this is part of the Build Back Better plan. What did that guy say? That Wally Asayemo, Deputy Secretary of Treasury, he said the quiet part out loud, the supply chain will remain an issue until everyone gets vaccinated. Are you holding us hostage? Is this some sort of negotiation, some sort of hostage negotiation? You'll get the goods from China when you take the experimental medicine made in China, too. So you can thank woke California for the supply chain issues that are happening on the West Coast. Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, who's doing good things as far as the vaccine mandate pushback and everything. I don't love him for anything else, but he said Florida's open. All you shipping companies want to come in and unload here, Florida's open. Now, it's not exactly a ideal location, considering you've got to dip down, go through the Panama Canal, and then come up and go back up. But it's an option. It'll add weeks onto your trip, but it's an option. You certainly cannot unload in Southern California anymore, or California in general. And for those of you that don't know the geography of California, you have many options there. San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco. These are all cities that are on the ocean. These are port cities where goods can come and go. Not anymore, though. The problem will get fixed, though, once we get electric trucks. That'll happen in, I don't know, a couple of years. Just hang tight and wait. It is so frustrating. If this was caused by, let's just say Yellowstone went off, right? And it was causing supply chain disruption, I'd be patient and understanding and calm and say, hey, listen, I mean, who could have foreseen this, right? I mean, we had a natural disaster and it screwed up everything and we're all going to just do the best we can. And let's, you know, hopefully we'll get things sorted out. These are manufactured problems. These are self-inflicted gunshot wounds. And when you get the deputy secretary of the treasury coming out and saying supply chain will remain an issue until everyone gets vaccinated, then what you have is a Venn diagram where the supply chain agenda and the vaccine agenda are overlapping. And where that overlap takes place is called the World Economic Forum. Because this is part of the plan. Like we've been talking about, you can't build it back better until you destroy what was there before. We have a fragile, just-in-time supply chain system set up in the United States. We truck in food from all over the place, even if we have the ability to grow it right where we are. Our relationship with food and products in general is very tenuous. But these are self-inflicted problems. These are problems that could change. Hell, Joe Biden is talking about how he's going to get a handle on this supply chain thing. He doesn't want to get a handle on the supply chain thing. He doesn't. Anyone sitting around waiting for him to fix the problem, they'll be waiting a long time. He's the one that's creating the problem. Not the California problem necessarily, because this was passed into law before Joe Biden was president. But he has the ability to overrule this, and he's not, and he won't, and you know he won't. Because he wants pain. He wants America brought to their knees. And I would suggest that it's happening. You know? Jen Psaki says, empty shelves and rising prices are due to, quote, increasing demand. No, they are not. You pathological liar. And she also goes on to say that it's a good thing because more people are buying things. You get an F in economics, Jen. But of course, she knows she's lying. She's paid to lie. That's what she does. She's not even very good at it either. I mean, you'd think that these people, you'd think that they would get somebody better at it. I mean, she's a soulless automaton of, you know, that we know, but she's not, I mean, Kayleigh McEnery, for all her sort of, you know, prom queen look, she fought back. Jen Psaki just she circled back Jen. Oh, well, you know, woke, you know, green agenda, vaccines, we're doing it. You know, she's so fucking fake. It's unbelievable. And I don't like any of the press secretaries, to be honest with you. But she's the worst. And she followed it up by saying what can only be described as a massive lie that I can't even believe her pants didn't catch on fire when she said this one. But she stood there at that podium and said, unemployment is half of what it was about a year ago. You know, I went into a Chili's a couple of Fridays ago. We were on our way to see Billy Burr at Red Rock, filming his special, you cunts. We went to Chili's to go see, you know, to go have dinner quick before we were going to head to see Bill Burr. Went in the bar, sat down, immediately noticed that there was just a bartender there. There were no cocktail waitresses. There's no hostess or anything. And I started looking. And I noticed a couple that was sitting across from us just got up and left. There weren't empty dishes or drinks or anything at their table. They just got up and walked out. And I made a mental note of that, but I didn't really say anything. Then I saw a second couple get up and walk out. And my wife stopped them as she goes, excuse me, did you guys even get waited on? They go, no, we've been here for 15 minutes. Nobody said anything to us. And we were like, oh, well, this isn't going to work because we're sort of on a time crunch. So we got up and we walked out too. But before we left, I took a mental snapshot of what was happening inside that Chili's. There were a line of people there to pick up their to-go orders. There was one bartender, the poor guy who's working his ass off. The line of to-go order people were just waiting to pick up their food. There was nobody to get it for them. There were a bunch of people sitting in the bar waiting to be helped. There were a bunch of people in the lobby. There were some people seated. I could see one other waitress, but I'm not kidding. I only saw one other waitress. So two people in a Chili's running the whole thing on a Friday night? Are you kidding me? That can't happen. So unemployment rate is half of what it was about a year ago, says Jen Psaki. No, it is not. You're absolutely 100% wrong on this. And of course, she knows that. She's a liar. Rising prices are a good thing because more people are buying things, she said. I mean, can I give her another F in economics? None of this makes any sense. It could be, Jen, that rising prices, first of all, rising prices aren't a good thing. It could be that rising prices are rising, not because people are buying things, but because there is a lack of supply that is forcing the prices higher. What do you think about maybe that option, Jen? What do you think? Maybe, is it that there are so many people buying all of these widgets that they've decided to just raise their prices on all these widgets? Or do you think it might possibly be that there's no fucking inventory of anything and therefore the prices of what is left are going through the roof because of supply and demand? Are you familiar with Adam Smith and the invisible hand of marketplaces, Jen? Because I would take that invisible hand of Adam Smith and choke your ass out with it for having the audacity to stand in front of a microphone and gaslight the American people and tell them rising prices are good, that they're rising because of increased demand, which is not true. It's a good thing because more people are buying things. Unemployment is half of what it was a year ago. All of these things are lies. Every single one of them. But she'll circle back to you, right? Well, you know, she works for the government, so what can you expect? This is the same government who has lost, this number is so big, it's going to make your brain hurt. The U.S. government has lost $200 billion on COVID stimulus fraud, or roughly five times more than was spent on the vaccine development. Winning. Only $200 million has been lost to fraud. Only that much. If you worked your entire life, if you had a $50,000 a year job, and you worked for two decades, let's just say that there was no taxes, you were able to take home all that money. 20 years, $50,000. That would be $1 million you would have earned. Think of how long 20 years is. Every day you get up, go to work. I mean, that's a lifetime, practically. That's for $1 million. Now think of that. You put all that money, all that you've earned in the 20 years, you just pile it up in one big stack, right? There's your $1 million. There would be 200,000 piles of $1 million, and that was just the fraud from COVID. That they know of. Do you know how much has been spent on the COVID situation already? $6 trillion. $6 trillion. That's $6,000 billion that could have been spent on literally anything would have been better than the way they spent it. Taking that money and just handing it out to people would have been better. They lost $200 billion of it on unemployment fraud. Hey, everybody, if you want to make a little bit of extra money, it looks like they don't care if there's unemployment fraud. I'm not encouraging you to commit a crime. I'm just saying that apparently you'd have to be a fucking idiot to get caught because there's $200 billion of it that's just up and walked out the door. But are you surprised? Would you consider this to be even remotely shocking when you consider that the states inside the United States have now, it's now come out, now they've done an accounting of this. The states have spent $90 million on vaccine lottery efforts. $90 million. $90 million is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Would you like to know what they concluded? This is a new study in JAMA, the Journal of American Medical Association Health Forum, examined 19 states with lottery ticket insanity for COVID. And they concluded the results of using this money for lotteries to increase the vaccination rate was, quote, I feel like I should do it in a Fauci voice, but I'm not going to, very small in magnitude and statistically indistinguishable from zero. It's the nicest way of saying zero I've ever heard. Very small in magnitude and statistically indistinguishable from zero. Oh, you mean zero? It had zero effect. What sort of effect? Well, it was statistically indistinguishable from zero. So zero. So you took $90 million and lit it on fire. Is that what you're saying? The Vax-a-Million in Ohio, the Vax-Cash in Maryland, and the Vax-and-Scratch in New York didn't have the desired results that you guys thought you were going to have? Color me surprised by this whole development. You have to be a mouth-breathing moron to have thought that spending money on lottery tickets to get people to take the vaccine was not going to work. I've joked about it on this show before that it seems to me like these guys got out of like a big meeting where you just envision them getting their asses chewed out by their boss, right? And like right before he concludes the meeting, he just stands up and goes, "I don't give a fuck if you have to get all these people lottery tickets, just get them vaccinated," and walks out. And all these governors go, "Oh, did he say we should do lotteries?" And they go, "Okay, well, let's do lotteries then." $90 million on fire, worthless. Add that into the $200 billion spent on COVID that was COVID stimulus. I use that term very loosely. That was just straight stolen through unemployment fraud. And the $6 trillion that's been spent on this charade the whole time. Does the United States government do anything right? I mean, if you were trying to botch this, I don't know if you could do as good of a job as they've done. It's simultaneously hilarious and infuriating, you know? Like, I laugh at how incompetent these people are, but it's insane. I mean, are you familiar with what this ICE whistleblower is saying? Randy Clark, have you heard of him? ICE is Immigration and Customs Enforcement. It's like Border Patrol on steroids or something. I don't know. But this 32-year veteran, Randy Clark of the Border Patrol, he says, and let me just preface this by saying, I cannot confirm the numbers that this guy is talking about. Okay. So let's just say that he seems to think that he has the right numbers, but it would probably behoove us to just keep this as numbers written in pencil instead of in pen until we can confirm it. But what he says is that more than 16,000 COVID positive migrants have been let into the United States and have been moved to multiple cities. And that 12,000 of the 16,000 were between the ages of 18 and 40 with no mandatory vaccinations for them. So look, I'm against I'm against mandatory vaccinations. I'm against coerced vaccinations. I'm against vaccinations in general. But if you, this is where I have a problem with all this. And I'm not saying they should mandate vaccines for these people coming across the border, because they shouldn't be mandating them for anybody. But doesn't it seem a little inconsistent that you're mandating it for everybody else except for the people that you're just allowing to walk across the border? I mean, you don't have to even have a particular, you don't even have to have an opinion on immigration to see this as ridiculous. You're not testing them? Not that testing works. You're not injecting them with this magic potion? I mean, listen, if the magic potion gives everybody magic immunity like it's supposed to, like they've been telling us that it does, then surely the 16,000 COVID positive migrants that you've let in, you would want to give them the magic potion, would you not? And yet they don't. Why? Because they're going to need somebody to run the machines when everybody fucking up and dies from this shit. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm saying it might happen, but I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's just frustrating because it's inconsistent with what you would do if you were acting in good faith and you were trying to actually end this COVID epidemic or whatever you want to call it. But this gets me to a document that Corey Hughes sent me. And Corey's a great researcher. We do a show together called Day Zero. You guys should maybe check that out. It's Chris Matthew from Forbidden Knowledge News. It's Corey Hughes, who does great work on Kennedy and X-Cubed from Inside the Cubed. We do a show called Day Zero. You can download that wherever podcasts are served. We get a bit crazy, and full disclosure, I take no responsibility for the things that come out of Corey's mouth because they're crazy sometimes, but I love it. You know, I love that he's pushing the envelope here, but he sent me this document and I think it's important for me to kind of read through part of this. And it has to do with the CDC faking numbers and changing reporting criteria. This is a lawsuit that's happening in Oregon. And they're saying, so when you get to this part, it's talking about death certificates. Remember how we mentioned that in August of 2020, the very first time that big report came out, the syndicated report from the news wires that went all around the world, it said 169,000 Americans dead from COVID, right? And then you read the final paragraph and it says of those 169,000, 6% died from COVID and 94% died with COVID and on average 2.6 comorbidity conditions, right? So we're like, whoa, that seems like it's kind of important because that changes everything. Well, Corey sent me this document that they're going through and they're talking about, should COVID-19 be reported on the death certificate only with a confirmed test? They say COVID-19 should be reported on the death certificate for all decedents, where the disease caused or is assumed to have caused or contributed to death. Think about what a gigantic gray area that is, that COVID-19 should be reported on the death certificates for all people that died where the disease was assumed to have contributed to the death. A lot of gray area there. But that's not all. See, they went back in and changed the guidelines on how you report deaths. Under 2003 guidelines, the highest that COVID-19 could be listed in the presence of an established comorbidity. So meaning if there was an established thing that was a comorbidity condition, like heart disease or cancer or something, the highest place that it could be listed would be on the what they call on the lowest line, lowest used line at the bottom of part one as an initiating factor, or more correctly, in a section called part two, as an infection that contributed to death. However, on March 24th, 2020, the CDC elected to forgo this trusted method of cause of death recording in favor of recording comorbidities in part two of the death certificate document, so that COVID-19 could be listed exclusively in part one of the death certificate document. So that when you look at these things, what they're saying before is, if it was like cancer, or, you know, you could say cancer and then you could say all these other things, cancer would go on part one and all of the other things would go on part two. What they're saying is, no, from now on, comorbidities go in part two and COVID goes in part one. So this has had a significant impact on data collection accuracy and also the integrity of that collection. It's resulted in potential false inflation of COVID-19 fatality data and is a potential breach of federal laws governing information quality. So again, much like we talked about when they changed the definition of herd immunity, changed the definition of it. In November of 2020, right before the vaccines were going to come out, they changed the definition so that it said that herd immunity is reached once vaccination rates are high enough, not once a certain percentage of the population is infected and carries antibodies. They took that part out and made it so that it's only vaccines. That's the only way you can define it. And so they're doing that because they're manipulating perception. What did they do with the death certificates? They changed it. When did they change it? Did they change it in 2017? Did they change it in 2013? No. They changed it March 24th, 2020, right after this thing broke out. So why all of a sudden? Why the need to all of a sudden go in there and change the way you count deaths? You're in the middle of a pandemic, all hands on deck, right? We gotta get to the bottom of this. We gotta save the world. Everybody's gonna die, blah, 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 blah. Oh, but before we do that, let's all come to an agreement and change the way we record deaths so that we can put COVID-19 as the number one cause of death. That is not what you do when you are in the middle of a real pandemic. That is what you do when you are trying to manufacture a pandemic. Otherwise, why the fuck would that be a priority? The answer is it wouldn't be. It'd be the last thing you do. It'd be, once we get done with this crazy pandemic, we've got some paperwork stuff we've got to change. We got to change the term of herd immunity. We'll do that later. It's not important right now. We'll change the death certificate the way we report. Okay, that's not important right now. We'll do that later too. No. Both of these things became priority number one, because they are about shaping perception of this whole racket that's going on. That's where we are, man. That's the state of things. California is broken. Sorry. Love you, California. But you guys need to get one of those full-length mirrors and just take a look at yourself and look at what you've become and look at who you've elected. And all you Californians that left and moved to Nevada or Texas or Florida or Tennessee or Idaho, and you said, fuck California, that place is a mess. Don't you dare vote for the same things that turned California, into commie-fornia, as my friend Miriam Hanane calls it. Yeah. A lot of this stuff, self-inflicted casualties. And that, of course, means that it's governmental in nature. And if there's one thing that we know, it's that when the government gets involved, things just go from bad to worse. If you like this episode, please take the additional step now, right now. of sharing it with your friends and family. Rate the show too if you like it. I really personally don't care too much about the ratings, but I know that it matters for the algorithm. So we'll play the game. And if you don't mind, you can give it a nice little rating and say something nice about the show. If you have something bad to say about the show, then just write that in your diary and please don't post it anywhere. If you want to connect with me, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Offer still stands on the signed books. I was flattered and overwhelmed with requests, and I will continue to do that. I've got more books. I can always order more. If you're interested in getting a signed copy of the new book, Hypocrisy, Surviving in a World of Cultural Double Standards, go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. There is a section where you can support the show. Donate $31 via PayPal. It's a very specific number that covers the cost of the book and covers shipping, and I will. And you got to do it through PayPal because it gives me your address, and that's where I'm going to send the book. So if you're interested, you can do it through that way. I've got a big stack of books that are going out to the postman today. So thank you all, and I will talk to you soon.